Our next public hearing is subdivision 2006-6, Jeff Stoneberger.
It's an application to consider the subdivision of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district in Cedar Creek 100, Sussex County, dividing 18.74 acres into 24 lots using the cluster development concept located north of Route 1, 500 feet southwest of Road 14E. This application has also been reviewed by the Technical Advisory Committee, and I would ask Mr. Abbott if he has any additional comments.
Mr. Wheatley, the tight review of September 20th of 06 will be made a part of the record, and I've passed down a revised plan addressing the concerns or comments that were raised by the tight committee. That's all I have.
All right, sir. We thank you. Anyone here representing this application this evening?
Yes, thank you. My name is Cliff Backish. I'm from Backish Surveyors and Engineers in Middletown, Delaware. With me this evening is Robert Johnson, a PE on our staff, and the owners of the property, Mr. Stoneberger and John. And they'll be glad to answer any questions you might have.
All right, sir.
This is an 18.8-acre approximately parcel of land located along Route 1, south of Milford, very close to Argo's Corner. It's bounded on one side by Route 1. It's bounded on the other side by Slaughter's Corner Road. What we are asking for is permission in the AR1 district to utilize the cluster option so that we could potentially do 24 lots on this property. I understand that we need to meet certain circumstances in order to be considered. We have read all of the TAC comments, and at this time, I have addressed most of those with the different agencies that had them. If you'd like, I could go through the changes that we've made at this point, if that's the best time to do it. I'll try to be brief with it.
Okay. If you have not submitted anything in writing for the record, if you want it to be on the record, you're going to have to tell us.
Okay, thank you. The major comments actually came from the Highway Department. The Highway Department was concerned about our entrance and exit location, and when I met with Mark Cote and his staff for the first time to discuss his comment in the TAC letter, he suggested that I go to their microfilm area and request the old construction plans for Route 1 and the upgrade to Slaughter's Beach Road. They thought that there was an access denial strip or a controlled access all along the original Benson property from this point right on up to the point where the property ends and meets the adjoining property. Researching their microfilms and their own right-of-way plans and construction plans, what we found was that, in fact, there was a 111-foot parcel left uncontrolled, which was right here, for the sole purpose of controlling access on and off this property to the Bensons. After we researched that information and went back to Mr. Cote and his staff and sat down, he agreed that it was okay to have our entrance at that point as long as the traffic count, the amount of traffic coming on and off the development did not create a situation on Slaughter's Beach Road where we had to put in a bypass lane or a left turn lane. At that time, we had the numbers and the figures. We reviewed them with the Highway Department, and they agreed that it did not warrant a left turn lane or a bypass lane because of the small amount of traffic that would be coming on and off this project. Mr. Cote says that he will issue me a letter of approval as soon as I make a formal submission back to him, which I will do if we get permission tonight to move forward, and I will be able to produce a letter for you. The highway also asked that we make some considerations in the development. We actually were asked to revise the road and lose what they call an elephant ear on your preliminary plan that you have in front of you. You'll see a cul-de-sac bubble right here. This is a copy of the plan as you have it. and we're talking about this feature right here.
That's not the plan that we have.
You have a revised plot plan, which I submitted the other day, which is actually this.
Okay.
The revised plot plan is actually this, where the bubble has been removed. So they're looking at the revised. All right, that was removed at the highway's request.
Oh, okay.
The highway also asked that we make sure that our centerline radiuses were a minimum of 150 feet at this location and this location. And they also asked us to increase the size of our cul-de-sacs, which we did. They're now 106 foot diameter with 38 foot radius paving sections, which also the fire marshal wanted that radius for his fire equipment. So we have accomplished those revisions at this time, and I think that we've met the main concerns of the highway department. Okay. I don't think you want me to go through every TAC letter. There really weren't any major comments there. I know that the Public Works Department has said that if we proceed that they want to see certain things placed on the plan, and we certainly are in agreement with doing that, and we'll make sure that all of those comments are addressed and all of that information is added to the plan according to their wishes. We will take care of that. I know that there are 17 issues that we're supposed to address, and without belaboring it too much, I'd like to go through them one by one. Number one is to show that we have integrated the proposed subdivision into the existing terrain and surrounding landscape. As you can see, the site is all open right now. This is a larger photograph. It shows our property and shows it all vacant at this time and shows the residential subdivision that is going on around it. We feel that the putting a subdivision in this area meets the character of the area. We do not intend to take any trees down. We do not intend to disturb any wetlands, and we do not intend to bring fill onto the site or take fill off. The site generally grades right now in this area, right straight down this way. And it's our intent to keep that grading flow and not change that. So we feel that we are that the subdivision, proposed subdivision, is going to fit in there well without any changes to the property. As I said, we don't intend to touch the floodplain or the wetlands. The wetlands were delineated by Atlantic Hydrologic, Chip Toner. They also did our soils testing for the proposed septics. That information was in our preliminary package. I think it was part of the submission. It was sent to DENREC, and we did get approval on the proposed soils. We're supposed to make sure we preserve any natural and historical features. I've already said we're going to make sure that we preserve the trees and that we also preserve the wetlands. We're not touching any of those. As far as we know, there are no historical features on the property, so we hope that we're not disturbing any. We intend to preserve the open space with a declaration in the maintenance. There will be a maintenance agreement in the restrictive covenants. And that maintenance agreement, I believe, has been sent in to the attorney and looked at.
I have seen it, and I've signed off on it as well.
Okay, it's approved as to form, so we will take care of that. Item 5, make sure that we minimize tree and vegetation soil removal. I've already said that we don't want to take any of the vegetation off. It is a like a field. It hasn't been tilled in a while. It's like a meadow. There's no vegetation other than weeds and that type of thing growing out there right now. We want to make sure that if there's any objectionable features that we do screen them, but at this point the only thing we're going to put on the property are homes, and I hope they're not objectionable, so I hope that there's no additional screening that needed. The aerial photograph does show that currently we do have some screening in place off the property on adjoiners' properties. We do have screening here along Route 1, and of course we have the woods here, which is also considered a forest buffer, and we don't intend to touch any of that. The water supply here will be individual wells. We do intend to have on-site septic systems, and as I said, we've done the soils testing, and it's been submitted to DENREC, and we do have approval at this point. Later on, we'll have to do more testing. We'll have to have at least 3 test holes on each lot to get a septic system design approved through DENREC, and we'll take care of that. We want to make sure that we minimize or prevent any pollution. Prevent any pollution to surface and groundwater. The type of stormwater collection system that we're proposing is an open swale beside the road with grass. We also want to use the bioretention system for the stormwater. In other words, we want to give the water a chance to, by using the bioswales beside the road, it's actually scrubbing and removing solids from the suspended solids from the stormwater. When it gets to the bioretention area, it will actually have time to collect and soak back in, recharging the underground water system. And we have done some preliminary design and calculations, and we feel that we can do that on the site. I don't think there's a problem doing that. Item 10 is to make sure that we minimize erosion and sedimentation, and obviously I think we can accomplish that at the construction plan stage when we prepare our E&S control plans, showing how we intend to make sure that we don't let soils leave the site and they're kept there, and we'll make sure that that happens. There is, by recharging our stormwater to the underground water system, we will actually help in maintaining the underground water level for the wells by recharging the water rather than picking it up and running it off and putting it someplace else. Item 11 was to address safe vehicular and pedestrian movement within the site. And one of the things that we feel we've done by adding the second street with the cul-de-sac is because as you pull into a site, there are no through roads here for traffic to come through this property to go someplace else. The only people that will pull in here are people that have a reason to be at one of these homes. Over the years, what I've found is the houses on short cul-de-sac streets like this usually go first because they're private. You don't get as much traffic, and people prefer that. So we feel that the layout that we've got here is actually going to help minimize the traffic. Number one, by not letting through traffic come through, and number two, by providing the shorter streets here that you're not gonna have everybody driving up to here to get to someplace else. So that's going to help us with our pedestrian traffic. The fewer cars there, the better it's going to be for the pedestrian traffic. We've also sited our open space right here, which means that anybody that wants to walk to the open space, they only have to come a short distance. And the traffic that they would see getting to this point is only the traffic that would be in this area. It's not all of the traffic. So we've tried to make sure that we minimized any impact on the people that are there using the property and the people that have to drive through the development. We don't think that there's going to be any negative effect on the values of the property in the surrounding area. Typically, when you put a new development in with new housing and new structures, it tends to help the values of the surrounding property. And I think that, Mr. Stoneberger, I don't know if you have a price range yet or a style of house that you're thinking about. But
225 to 300, somewhere.
Okay, so there'll be upscale houses.
Sure.
Sir, if you're going to speak, I need you to come up, give us your name.
Pardon me. That's Jeff Stoneberger, one of the principals for the project. I'm from Middletown as well. We're preliminary planning $225,000 to $300,000, bearing some market flexibility, obviously.
All right,
thank
sir.
You.
Thank you.
Thank you. Item 13 was to speak to the preservation and conservation of farmland. Right now, that is not utilized as farmland. It's vacant. It hasn't been tilled or farmed for some time, as far as we know. So we feel that the intent of that issue has been met because we're not taking any farmland out of crops and turning it into homes. The effect on schools, public buildings, and community facilities with only 24 lots won't be too much. I would expect that this would not be considered maybe like a starter community where everybody is going to have kids. The average number of kids today, I think, is 2 per dwelling. And with 24 dwellings, we might be looking at 48 children that could be entered into the school district. And we feel that that would probably be a minimal impact at this point. The effect on the area roadways, public transportation, as of right now, as far as I know, there is no public transportation right there at that intersection. As far as affecting the roadway, that is Route 1 right there, which is built for a large amount of traffic. And as I've mentioned before in talking with the highway department, the amount that we are adding doesn't even warrant a left turn lane or a bypass lane. So I think it would have minimal, if any, impact on Route 1. We do feel that the existing use is compatible with the area. As I showed in the large scale photograph, as this area is developing and more and more homes are coming in, and there's probably a couple more that aren't up here that are planned for but haven't shown up on the photograph yet. I'm not sure the year on this photograph. I got it off the website, and it didn't tell me the year. So, but we do feel that we have met the character of the land here. We have any number of subdivisions with lots that are about the same size and in some cases smaller than what we're proposing. We are proposing the half acre lot size. Item 17 was any effect on area waterways, and there are no navigable waterways in the area, but there is a small drainage way. It's over here on the other side of Route 1, and some water does flow from here through a pipe under the road and into that small drainage way. And as I spoke to our stormwater plan, it's actually our intent. We will not release more water than comes off the site now, and hopefully we can get it reduced by using the infiltration methods. That's one of the things that the DERM method is trying to accomplish. We're trying to get more water back into the ground and let it run off. Okay. The last issue that I have to address, I guess, is section 15-25F, and speak to the why I feel that a cluster option here is better than the standard 3/4 acre option. The cluster option, in our opinion, actually fosters good stewardship of the land. What we get here is a chance to take more lots, put it in a smaller area, and help to curb urban sprawl by making larger lots, more property is eaten up, we just feel that this is good stewardship. We've been able to actually decrease the lengths of the streets here by using the cluster option. Because of the smaller lots, I have less road frontage, thereby reducing my impervious surfaces, which is going to help me with recharging the water back into the ground. It's also helped me because I'm able to provide, on this 18.7-acre property, I'm able to provide 3.47 acres of open space, which is almost 20% of the property. And in that open space, I'm able to preserve and protect my wetlands and trees, and there are no other environmental resources on the property that I can't protect. So, but we are able to put those in the open space and make sure that they're kept. We also feel that the clustering option here and the increased number of lots on that property fits well in this area because of our direct access to Route 1, which has the potential to absorb that amount of traffic without any real harm. That's everything that I've got. I'd be happy to answer any questions. I hope that you look on this favorably.
All right, sir, we'll see if anyone has any questions for you.
Mr. Burton.
Thank you. Tell me where the stormwater management pond is. Is it?
Not a pond. It's a bioretention area. What happens is the water comes to that area, the area is actually excavated, and a special material is placed in there. It's a special mixture that the state approves. The water goes in there. It's all backfilled with special material and topsoil. The water runs to that area, soaks down into that, and then there's a certain amount of storage within that area. And it helps to store it while it's raining, and then it soaks down into the ground. So those are bioretention areas.
Where is that area?
Okay. As I said, the site flows this way. So what we're intending to do is put these two bioretentions here where we can intercept the water coming in this direction and intercept the water coming in this direction. The water that is channeled here, rather than putting everything in pipes with catch basins and pipes, we will be doing those open swales beside the road, grassed, minimum slopes. We slow the water down, we give it more time to soak in, and by leaving the grass in the bottom of the ditches, we give it a chance to scrub out any of the suspended solids. So that this is the area that we're intending for those.
Is that a flat area?
It would have a little bit of a swale to it so that the water goes there and soaks in. It's not a pond. We don't want a pond. Frankly, they don't work. Yes, they do slow down the runoff, but over a period of time, they actually allow more water off the property.
Would that be the area that the 48 kids play in?
Potentially, yep.
Would there be any thought, I mean, it's right along Route 1. I think, actually, my truck's in that one of those pictures there, but I'm up and down that road all the time. That's very close to Route 1. Is there any thought of, if you're going to have that many children, that's right on Route 1. Is there any thought to a fence or some?
I'm sure that something like that, yes. I mean, that is a safety precaution.
Yes.
Sure. Absolutely.
Is there any thought to a bus stop out front? Could there be any place where the kids could
There are shoulders along Slaughter's Beach Road, and a bus could pull over. Obviously, we do have an area of open space right at our entrance here, which we thought would be ideal for signage and perhaps some planting and landscaping. And a bus stop could be placed in this area without a problem.
And the land that's along the edge of 1 and Slaughter Beach Road, that is a dedicated highway?
Yes, that belongs to the highway department. That was actually purchased from Mr. Benson when he was the owner of the property.
No further questions.
Thank you. Scorty.
Just one. I'm sure you went over it, but is this individual septic systems or is this community system?
Individual septics.
And you do have feasibility?
We have feasibility report approved by DENREC.
Thank you. That's all I have.
Okay. Mr. Smith?
The drainage swales beside the roadway
yes.
that you described just a few minutes ago, is that the type of design that is sometimes referred to as a rain garden?
No, these aren't rain gardens. I think rain gardens are a little bit different. Rain gardens, well, it depends. I mean, I've seen rain gardens designed for the state of Maryland and Cecil County, and they have some very specific designs for rain gardens. These swales are actually designed according to the highway specifications as far as the shoulder width, the slope down to the bottom of the swale, and then once we get down to the bottom of the swale, then our design kicks in. The width of the bottom of the drainage ditch is wider than normal. Rather than being a V, we come down, have a flat bottom anywhere from 3 to 5 feet wide, and then slope gently back up to the lot. And what that does is it gives the water more surface area to act, and then the grass in there, and the grass needs to be left at 3 to 5 inches in height. Okay, it actually helps to scrub, slows the water down, gives it more of a chance to soak in. And I haven't heard that type of a roadside ditch called a rain garden before. The rain gardens that I'm familiar with are actually gardens, and no, that's not what we're proposing here.
Reason why I ask, and perhaps Rick, when he gets the opportunity to comment, may elaborate, but I'd had conversations with Mr. Izzo, and I know that he seems to be, based on those conversations, he seems to be opposed to the rain gardens beside the roadways for reasons that he enumerated to me that he would tell you about and pass along at that time. So
obviously the final plan and the final design has to go through the engineering department, and we will work with them any way that we can.
And I think what we would like to do if we acted favorably on this would be see the final plan be as close to the preliminary that we do here, just in fairness to everyone involved.
Sure, I understand. And that's the reason that I did at least want to get that one to you so you can see what we've done so far and at least understand that we are trying to work with the comments that we've gotten and get it as close as we can. But some of our meetings with the highway department have just been very recent, so.
So.
All right, sir. Mr. Lang?
You made reference to the change of the radius at the entrance by Del Dot, change of the cul-de-sacs by Del Dot, change of the pavement width by Del Dot. Is this a public street or a private street?
These are to be public, dedicated to public use, and maintained by Del Dot. And that was one of the things that when I met with Mr. Cote at Del Dot that we went over, and he said that was fine with him. He was okay with that.
So you won't be dealing with the county engineering, you'll be dealing with Del Dot?
Yes, I will. But usually with the collection system, we usually do have to deal with the county engineer at some point.
Yeah, typically you do, but in the collection system, in this case, you'll be dealing with Del Dot in the Sussex right. Conservation District.
Right.
The other question the question just to expand upon the rain gardens. Typically, the rain garden that we've seen so far, there's been very few, have been located not necessarily on a swale, but in the median of a boulevard-type street system.
You're speaking of the new type of rain garden that was introduced when they came out with the Durham model, where you actually have an area that collects water.
It collects water.
It soaks
water
into that
and
area. You have plants on the top.
Different type vegetation,
yeah,
right.
That is not what I was proposing on the roadside.
You're proposing grass.
Yes.
Okay. Now, the other question that we looked at, we were trying to figure out in your aerial, seems to be a driveway that runs across that field.
This is
or
where
a trail or
somebody
path.
Has driven through here and over a period of time, and it's a track, just a dirt track.
Okay.
It's not access for anything. I mean, I've driven in here when we've done our survey work and walked the site, and it's an easy way to get on the site and drive around it. But it's not used for access to any other properties at this time.
There was a question raised about a fence. Wasn't this property at one time fenced along Route 1?
Sir?
I'm just asking a question.
Yeah, there's a barbed wire fence that's hidden along the forestry there.
The state put in.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah. Okay.
The highway installed that.
Yeah, that's what they did it for, to limit access.
And animal control.
Yeah, trying animal to keep control. That's all I have.
All right, sir. Mr. Counts?
Just two things. Lots 11 and 12 visually back up to Argo's Corner Road. And I think you're relying on the screening from the adjacent properties, and maybe you might want to consider some kind of screening. Backyard doesn't.
Okay, we're talking about right here
11 and
12.
12, yeah.
Okay. In reading through the code, I did read where there is a section that speaks to a new residential development going against other residential developments that already exist. And one of the things that they asked for was a nice transition between the two. And they had also asked or stated that we should make sure that we keep any new housing at least 50 foot from that common line. It also suggested that if you wanted a house closer, that you would put a 30-foot buffer in there where you could put plantings or a fence or a berm with plantings. I'm sure that across the back of those two lots, we could do some kind of protection there to protect from the view to Argo's
Corner
Road.
Visual screen of some sort.
Sure, we could do that.
Rears of the property. And I guess it's more a comment than anything else. Your open space as you enter into the site, the 3.3166 acres. With this small a subdivision, I'm concerned about the homeowners association's desire and ability to actually maintain that very well. I can see it becoming overgrown in pretty short order.
I understand, and
I think you need to address that somehow.
If need be, I could combine it with the first lot.
Somehow you need to address that particular issue, because otherwise I think you're going to, if this is approved, I think you're going to have a problem.
Okay. Thank you.
My opinion.
Okay. Council?
I'm sorry, Mr. Abbott.
Excuse me.
Good grief. Didn't mean to leave you out.
Questions?
Mr. Robertson.
No questions. The main question I had was answered when Lawrence asked about the streets.
All right, sir. Well, if you would
kindly stand aside for a second. We'll see if there's anybody here that has an interest in your application.
Thank you.
Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of subdivision 2006-6, Jeff Stoneberger? Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to subdivision 2006-6? Does anyone on the commission have any questions? Being none, we'll close the public hearing. We'll invite you to spend the rest of your Thursday evening with us to see if you make a decision, or you may just wish to call the office in the morning.